From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. More Idaho Matters right now. While debate continues over whether or not to remove the four lower Snake River dams to help fish like endangered salmon, in other places, dams are already coming down for a variety of reasons. In 2022, 65 dams were dismantled in the U.S., and work continues on taking out the dam system on the Klamath River in eastern Oregon. And there is a lot that goes into removing a dam, from the why to the how, as Dr. Steve Clayton can tell you. He is the senior project manager with Jacobs Engineering Group, and he has worked on dam removal projects in places like New York and California, and he specializes in restoring rivers after dams come down. He's speaking to the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Boise State on Thursday, and he's joining us now to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gemma. Great to be here with you.
So can you talk to us about what you do at Jacobs Engineering Group?
You bet. So Jacobs, formerly CS2 M. Hill, has been in Boise since 1950. I've been with the company 19 years, all here in Boise. And my focus is river and stream restoration work. I also help lead our dam removal work around the country. If any visitor or guests have been up around Yankee Fork or Morse Creek, we've done restoration work on those projects, and I was helping to lead that work.
So, as you mentioned, you've worked on dam removal projects in the past. Tell us about some of them and what goes in to actually taking down a dam.
Yeah, these processes take many years, often decades. You mentioned Klamath, and that was an effort led by my many groups, including the tribes in the region there in Northern California and Southern Oregon. These can take decades to come together. The drivers often include economic considerations or relicensing from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Once a project is, the decision is made to move ahead with a dam removal, that typically takes, for a small dam, maybe 3 years, larger projects, several years. The projects I've worked on in Georgia, New York, Colorado, and then opportunity to be engaged on the Klamath. Those smaller projects took about 3 years each.
Mm. So why are dams removed? Because what we normally hear is it's about fish, right? In particular, endangered fish like salmon, as I mentioned. But are there other reasons?
Yeah, we'll talk about this more tomorrow in the OSHA mm-hmm. presentation. But dams bring a lot of benefits. Those benefits also come with costs. And if we think of rivers and watersheds and the connectivity that happens with those, both in the upstream to downstream direction, we'd call that longitudinal direction, or between the channel and its floodplain or a cross section or lateral, and then between the channel and groundwater. All those pieces are integral to the health of a river ecosystem, not just for the fish, but for the bugs, the plants, and the communities that rely on those. And dams, while they do provide benefits, disconnect those processes. And there's sometimes solutions to work around that, but in most cases, the disruption of the flow of water, disruption of the flow of sediment, all have negative impacts.
Mm. So, Steve, what kind of planning is actually required before you can remove a dam?
There's lots of considerations, but probably the four big ones are managing water during the dam removal, because the channel needs to be routed around the construction area. Management of sediment is probably the largest consideration, both in terms of time and cost, trying to understand how much sediment has been stored, what's the relative volume of that sediment compared to what the river naturally would transport. Is that sediment contaminated? Is it fine? Is it coarse? There's great work that's been done by the Bureau of Reclamation and others to characterize, to provide guidance on characterizing sediment. Other features to consider are cultural and historical resources. The federal legislation now, Section 106, says anything older than 50 years old needs to be considered for cultural protection, and many dams in the country are much older than 50 years old. And then protection of infrastructure. For example, Milltown Dam removal near Missoula, Montana, on the Blackfoot and Clark Fork River. Our company helped to reinforce the Interstate 90 bridges because those had been built in a setting where it was like a slack water or a reservoir condition, and it was changing the flowing conditions. So those bridge piers and abutments were now more exposed to scour.
Okay, so let's talk about what happens after a dam is removed, in particular river restoration, because you've done a lot of work on this aspect as well. My understanding is that you've worked on the Columbia River restoration project. So what's involved after the dam comes down?
Right. So to be clear, most of my restoration work has been on river reaches that are separate of dams, but driven by habitat projects. But the river restoration work, separate of dams and related to dams, is really similar in most cases. We try to understand the natural physical processes, and really we try to reset or restore those. So whether it's a dredge mine reach like Yankee Fork or Moores Creek, or a river that's been dammed, this disruption that's happened, with human decisions is being reset. And so we're trying to restore those physical processes with the objective to then reset the biological processes. So we will go in and collect data, trying to identify the uncertainties. Often we're proceeding, without full information of what the uncertainties may be. So we try to manage that, gather more information. We use hydraulic models, so one-dimensional and two-dimensional models, to look at the depths and the velocities, improve those for habitat for fish and other species. And we're thinking about that sediment conveyance as well. How might the sediment move out of the system? In some cases, if the sediment is clean and small or equal to the annual supply, then that could be flushed down naturally. In other cases, it might need to be excavated out and hauled and stored in a repository, usually nearby, but definitely away from the river channel. And after that's happened, then the removal process would often involve shifting the channel position, removing the structure, and then rewatering the channel, and then monitoring and maintenance to make sure the vegetation's established.
So I only have about 1 minute left with you. What are you hoping folks take away from your presentation on Thursday?
And I think the big piece that is important to understand is, as a society, we have made decisions to build dams on rivers. Those dams provide a lot of benefits. In Idaho, we benefit from power that's half the cost of the national average, and that's similar around a lot of the Columbia River Basin. But those dams come with impacts that we've talked about here and that you mentioned with this with the salmon. And we're at a point now as a society to make decisions on where we want to go. And I hope what I share tomorrow at the Osher Institute provides some context for those who are able to join us.
Well, I really appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us about this and give us a preview. We've been talking with Dr. Steve Clayton. He is the Senior Project Manager with Jacobs Engineering Group. He'll be talking about dam removal in the United States tomorrow at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Boise State. Thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.